Today, we are diving deep into fire specifically, the physics and, well, the math of how fire spreads, but not in, a perfect uniform piece of wood. We're talking about materials that are messy, irregular, fundamentally unpredictable. Combustion in what researchers call random media. I think it's very fast. Okay, let's unpack this. We synthesize a pretty dense technical paper, Quantitative Homogenization for Combustion in Random Media. Our mission today is to get past the heavy math and pull out the core insight. How can we possibly predict a steady speed for a fire front when the stuff it's burning through is just chaotic? So to even start thinking about this mathematically, scientists use a standard approach. It's a kind of heat and reaction equation. It basically tracks temperature normalized. It goes from zero, meaning cold, up to one, fully burned, and how that temperature changes based on heat diffusion, how heat spreads out and the chemical reaction rate. And critically, the reaction function is what they call ignition type, meaning nothing really happens until you hit a certain temperature threshold, like striking a match, basically.
Right. And if you do have that perfectly uniform material, a homogeneous medium, that equation behaves quite nicely. There's a classic work, Kolmogorov, Petrovsky, Piskunov, and Fischer. They showed solutions just propagate ballistically. That fire front moves outwards at a single constant speed. Let's call it T dollars. It's clean, predictable. But the moment you introduce randomness in space, say the fuel isn't spread evenly or the material properties change constantly, well, that predictable behavior just kind of evaporates. The reaction isn't the same everywhere, so you can't expect the fire to move at the same speed in all directions. And I mean, for some reactions, you might not even get any consistent speed. The randomness should, you'd think, lead to random spread.
Okay, so you have the system that's fundamentally random at the micro level, and yet physically, we often observe large-scale fire fronts that look pretty stable, right? So we need some way to like average out all that noise and find the bigger picture. And this is where this core mathematical idea of homogenization comes into play.
Yeah, you can think of homogenization as like taking a really long exposure photo of something chaotic. Eventually, the frantic movements average out into a clearer pattern. The math shows that if the randomness is statistically consistent, the technical term is stationary ergodic, basically meaning the statistics look the same wherever you look, then if you zoom out far enough in both space and time, the process starts to behave as if the medium were uniform again. Albeit maybe not uniform in all directions, it could be non-isotropic.
Right. So the goal of using homogenization here is to prove that despite all the small-scale chaos, the fire front does settle down. It finds these direction-dependent speeds, where it's just the direction vector. So maybe it burns faster going uphill than downhill, but the uphill speed becomes consistent.
That's exactly the goal. But here's where it gets really interesting, and where the researchers really had to innovate. It turns out the equation describing the fire front on these large homogenized scales, it's not the same reaction diffusion equation we started with.
Wait, hang on. So the physics, or at least the mathematical description of the physics, actually changes when you zoom out.
Precisely. That's the mathematical leap. We start with that second order PDE, the reaction diffusion equation, which cares about heat gradients, diffusion rates, temperature inside the material. But in the limit, after homogenization, it transforms into a completely different beast, a first-order PDE called the Hamilton-Jacobi equation.
Hamilton-Jacobi. Okay, that sounds pretty abstract. What does that shift actually mean for understanding the fire spread? What's the intuition?
It means we fundamentally change what we're tracking. We stop calculating the temperature gradients and diffusion within the burning region. We sort of stop worrying about the variable U, the temperature itself, in the same way. Instead, this new homogenized equation, the Hamilton-Jacobi one, is all about the geometry and the velocity of the expanding boundary. It directly tracks the shape and the speed of the fire front itself. It simplifies the problem from complex internal heat dynamics to essentially external geometric expansion.
Ah, okay. So it's like shifting focus from how the material is burning internally to just where the edge of the fire is moving. That shift from volume to boundary, that's the key insight that lets them find predictable movement.
That's the core idea. And it's also why proving this rigorously is so challenging and relatively recent. Making that connection from a second-order process tracking internal states to a first-order one tracking boundary geometry, especially in multiple dimensions where the geometry gets complicated, it just requires very sophisticated mathematical tools.
Okay, so the environment has to be statistically well-behaved, this stationary ergodic idea. What about the fire itself? You mentioned the ignition type reaction. Did they need more specific rules for the reaction chemistry?
They did, yes. The analysis relies quite heavily on specific conditions, particularly what they call hypothesis H2. It requires the reaction to be a stationary pure ignition reaction.
Pure ignition. Why pure? What does that rule out?
It's designed to avoid situations where the reaction kind of stalls out at intermediate temperatures. Imagine you light something, it gets warm, maybe chars a bit, but never fully combusts. It just sits there at some medium heat level.
Like trying to burn damp wood. It smolders but doesn't really catch properly.
Exactly like that. Mathematically, these situations create what are called plateaus in the temperature profile. These are regions stuck at an intermediate temperature, and crucially, they can grow over time without ever reaching full combustion. If these plateaus are allowed to form and persist, they basically mess up the whole homogenization process. You don't get that clean convergence to a single speed Knoller's law. So the pure ignition requirement essentially ensures that once the reaction starts, it goes all the way to completion, to your $200. No stable half-burned states.
Okay, that makes sense. You need the reaction to be decisive. Which brings us then to what might be the most surprising constraint in the whole paper, a detail that feels like it hints at something deeper about physics. You're saying this whole quantitative analysis proving the speed converges reliably, it only works for spatial dimensions up to 3? 33 parts.
That's right. It's a really significant limitation, not just some technical detail they couldn't iron out. The paper explains that even with that pure ignition condition, those problematic plateau scenarios, the smoldering regions, can still potentially happen in dimensions 4 and higher, 44 trees.
Why? What is it about 4 dimensions or more that breaks the math for fire spread? It seems so counterintuitive.
Well, it connects to something really fundamental about how diffusion or random movement behaves in different dimensions. Physicists often model this using Brownian motion. Think of a tiny particle doing a random walk. In 1, 2, or 3 dimensions, that random walk is what we call recurrent. That means if it starts somewhere, it's guaranteed to eventually return to its starting point, or at least nearby. This recurrence kind of helps the heat or the reaction to effectively explore the area and average itself out, finding the best path forward.
Okay, so in our familiar 3D world, the random heat diffusion keeps sort of circling back, which helps stabilize the fire front.
You can think of it that way, yes.
Yeah.
But in 4 dimensions or higher, the random walk suddenly becomes transient. The particle, or the heat packet in our case, tends to just wander off further and further away. It has a very low probability of ever returning to its origin.
Ah. So in 4D, the geometry means the heat needed to keep the reaction going can just diffuse away too easily. It gets lost and doesn't come back to help the front stabilize.
That's the essence of it. Because the heat disperses so effectively, the front can struggle to maintain that consistent average behavior needed for homogenization to give you a nice clean speed. The geometry itself fundamentally alters the thermal behavior, making those problematic plateaus potentially unavoidable, mathematically speaking, above 3D. It makes the problem vastly more difficult, maybe requiring completely different methods.
That is, yeah, that's genuinely mind-bending. The dimensionality of space itself affects whether fire spreads predictably. But okay, let's stick to our more intuitive 3D world for now. So establishing that these homogenized speeds exist was a big deal. But this paper, it goes further, right?
Yes, exactly. That's the breakthrough here.
Yeah.
They didn't just prove the speed exists in the limit. They provided the first quantitative estimates on how fast the actual solution converges to that limit. Before this work, people knew the homogenized speed was the theoretical destination, but there wasn't a good handle on how quickly the real, messy, random fire front actually gets there.
So they figured out the rate of convergence, how fast the randomness smooths out into that predictable order. That sounds huge for, like, actual applications.
It really is. The main result, theorem 1.3 in the paper, shows an algebraic rate of convergence. That means it converges reasonably quickly with some positive power theta. It's not like some incredibly slow logarithmic convergence that might take forever in practice. And importantly, this convergence happens with very high probability. As the scaling parameter epsilon Arler, which you can think of as relating to the scale of the randomness, gets smaller, the probability that the actual solution is close to the predicted homogenized one goes to 1 exponentially fast. So for finely structured random media, you're almost certain to see the predicted asymptotic behavior emerge relatively quickly.
Okay, let's try to visualize that. What does this convergence look like physically? It's describing how the actual, maybe slightly wobbly, boundary of the fire.
Exactly. It describes how the theta superlevel set, basically, the region where the temperature epsilon is above some threshold theta teller, how that region approximates a nice, predictable, expanding shape. Specifically, it approximates this time-expanding convex region, which they called omega AC.
And that shape omega is determined by?
It's determined entirely by those asymptotic speeds that we talked about. If your fire initially starts within some bounded convex area, let's call it $8, then the shape of the burned region at a later time dollar is given by a specific geometric formula. It's basically the intersection of all half spaces defined by the speed in each direction. The formula is big Kappa SD plus ESAP plus CET. It looks complicated, but it just shows how the final shape is built up by considering the maximum extent the fire reaches in every possible direction, governed by the speed teller in that direction.
So the whole journey. Start with random diffusion, use homogenization to shift perspective to boundary geometry via Hamilton-Jacobi, and the quantitative result ties the initial fire shape law to the final expanded shape omega, using only those calculated directional speeds of Pophium.
That's a great summary. Yes.
So what does this all mean? What's the big takeaway here?
Well, the real significance, I think, is that this work provides seriously rigorous mathematical proof and the first quantitative speed estimates for a really crucial physical process combustion happening in the kind of complex, messy environments we actually encounter. It builds a solid bridge between the deep theory of reaction diffusion equations and the somewhat simpler, more elegant geometric picture given by Hamilton-Jacobi equations, at least in the large-scale limit.
Okay, so to recap for everyone listening, we learned that trying to predict fire spread in random stuff forces scientists to kind of zoom out. And when they do that, the math changes. They stop focusing so much on the internal temperature and instead track the moving edge, the geometry. But this whole powerful simplification with quantitative guarantees on how fast it works seems to be fundamentally limited to the three spatial dimensions we live in.
That's the gist of it.
Cool.
And yeah, that dull little 3D3 limit, it really is profound. It strongly suggests there's this deep connection, or maybe a disconnect, between thermal diffusion behavior and the geometry of space itself that only really bites when you go beyond 3D.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative final thought, doesn't it? If our standard way of predicting fire spread breaks down in four dimensions because heat just wanders off differently, what other weird, non-intuitive thermal or geometric effects might be lurking in higher dimensions? And how fundamentally different would our mathematical tools need to be to even start describing fire or similar processes in a universe where heat gets lost like that?
It's definitely something to ponder. It highlights how much our physical intuition is shaped by living in three spatial dimensions.
A fascinating journey into the math of chaos and order. Thank you so much for guiding us through this.
It was my pleasure. Really interesting stuff.
And thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.